Start with a actually kind of a collage of scriptures this morning. And we're going to actually start with the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. And what we're going to do here, let's see here. All right. Like I said, we're going to take a look at a few, kind of a collage of scriptures, kind of succinct scriptures, which hopefully as we begin to look at these scriptures, out of it will come the heart of what we want to minister along the lines of this morning. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." 2 Corinthians 5, 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Romans 1, 17, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Here's Paul's personal testimony. Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Philippians 3, and be this again, Paul's testimony, "To be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." And Hebrews 11, 6, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." You know, if you read your New Testament, there is a word you cannot get away from. That is the word faith. From beginning to end, it is faith. You were saved by grace through faith. There was an expression of calling upon the name of the Lord. You couldn't save yourself. All you could do is by faith respond to the drawing of the Holy Spirit that reveals to us our sinful condition, and shows us the need for a Savior. And in that seeing, there's a responding. There's a calling. It's faith. But you know, your faith doesn't stop there. That's just the first step of faith. You begin to find out in this Christian walk that you actually now have to live by faith and walk by faith. All through to the end where the Apostle Paul said, "I've kept the faith. Praise God. I've got the prize." He kept the faith. That faith starts as an expression of calling upon the name of the Lord. It's something that you keep right on through. It's faith, faith, faith. Like one of my Bible instructors told us, it's faith in the morning, faith in the noontime, faith when the sun goes down. Faith, faith, faith. There is an element of faith that God has designed for us as his children, as New Testament believers. And we've had different messages along the lines of, you know, what faith is, how faith works, how to develop your faith, the trial of faith, different things like that. But this morning I want to kind of go at it a little different. I want to take a little different approach this morning, and I really want to address the question, why faith? Why faith? Why did he set it up like this? Have you ever wondered that? We walk by faith and not by sight. In fact, all the why God questions have a larger question. That is, why faith? There would be no why God questions if we walk by sight, because we could see the answer. So all your why God questions really kind of go up to a larger question. Why faith in the first place? Why did God set it up like this? These are kind of maybe some of the philosophical elements of the faith walk that I've personally questioned and want, and not in a critical, but in a curious way. Why faith? Why do we have to walk by faith? There's some really good answers. There's some very good answers in the Word of God. Sight doesn't work. It takes faith. It takes faith to live this life. And we're going to look at some things this morning, and we're going to look at, you know, some different points in areas, but as we're looking and as I'm ministering along the lines of why faith this morning, I want you to just think about in your mind how sight falls short, how the natural falls short. Faith is not some mystical game that God is playing with us. He's a God of love. There is no one more loving than Him. There is no one who can suffer long and be kind longer and merciful. It's love that designed faith for our existence. Love. Faith. You find out in God, things are a certain way, they're a certain order, because that's the way they need to be. And as we begin to explore the question this morning, why faith? Why faith? My prayer for you this morning is that in your own faith walk, as you're hitting those inflection points of trust in different areas of your life, that this will help you see the big picture as to why it is faith. And faith is good. Faith is right. And faith is the way it's the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. There is victory in faith. God designed it. He set it up that way. And again, in more of a practical sense, we're going to take a look at why God set it up that way. So this morning, we're going to look at why faith. Why is it that we walk by faith and not by sight? First point is, faith sees the unseen. Jody just declared that this morning in praise and worship. Faith, help us to see the unseen. Faith sees the unseen. The problem with walking by sight from a natural sense of these eyes is that there are two worlds. There's the natural world, and there's a whole world of the spirit. God is spirit. And natural eyes can only see a natural world. Natural physical eyes can't see the spirit realm. It can't see the spirit world. We need something more to get access to all the information. Sight doesn't cut it. So what does the Bible say, specifically as it relates to faith and sight? Hebrews 11, 1 through 2 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good testimony." So we see that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is over in that area of things not seen. Faith or sight? Faith. Faith. God has set this up to work by faith. We're just going to continue to read a few more scriptures along those lines. Paul, he said, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Praise God. Where the Apostle Paul is saying, look at, you know, we're looking, how can you look at things that are not seen? If you're going to look at something that's not seen, you cannot be looking with these eyes. You got to be looking with something else. There is a look of faith where you're seeing by faith things the Bible talks about, the Word of God talks about. Now, very specifically, as it relates to what he's talking about here, he's talking about eternity, eternal things. That's 2 Corinthians 4. I'm just going to go ahead and read this, 2 Corinthians 5, just a few verses out of that. He goes on to say, "For if we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body. And for we are confident, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You see, a person who has the revelation, who sees eternity. Paul is saying, you know, we got stuff going on. I mean, before these verses, if you read a few, there's stuff going on in the ministry, stuff going on in his life. You can read about, you know, in 2 Corinthians 11, at bullet points, all the stuff he went through. But he saw something. He was looking at things not seen. He was looking at that eternal thing. You can't see it with your natural physical eyes, but it's there. And by faith, you see it. We need faith. God designed and orchestrated and designed our lives to be faith-oriented because he knew these natural physical senses did not have what it takes to be able to see everything we need to see. Okay? Now, it's not blind faith. It's a very specific faith according to his word. Praise God. How do I know that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus? Is it by something I feel? It's nothing that I see in the mirror. It's something that I see in 2 Corinthians 5 that says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. How do I know the Holy Spirit lives in me? How do I really know that? Because I got a warm feeling? No. Feelings come, feelings go. And depending on the time of the day, you may or may not feel anything. A lot of times, what is it? But you see something. You see something by faith. You see it in the Word of God. Well, we even have it in the passage that I just read here. It just says that, you know, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. All right? I see it by faith. I know that I am born again. I know I'm a new creation. And what happens is it's like another set of eyes that you get used to using. Somebody once put it this way. The realm you're most familiar with, the realm you spend the most time in. If you spend a lot of time in the natural world, you'll be very familiar with that. If you spend a lot of time in spiritual things, you'll be more familiar with that. Your eyes can be trained, which eyes you're going to use. But when you spend time in the spirit realm and you begin to see things where things get so real in your heart, like the Apostle Paul, he was so real, he said, if in this life only we have hope, he said, we're pitiful, we're pathetic. There's better things I could be doing with my time. Jesus didn't die on that cross for a coping mechanism in the here and now. He died on that cross for eternal life. He who has the Son has life. Do you understand this season of earth time is going to be a distant memory, a very small chapter in your existence? All right? This is just the start. Jesus died for eternal life. He who has the Son has life. And so he's given us faith to see the unseen. Have I seen heaven with these eyes? No, I haven't seen him with these natural eyes. This same Paul, the Bible tells us later in this book, in 2 Corinthians 12, most scholars agree, he talks about a man who was caught up into the third heaven. And most scholars believe that was Paul. So Paul had an interesting perspective here. He was caught up to that third heaven, where heaven is right now. And the Bible says he heard things up there which are not lawful to be uttered down here. There is knowledge that people right now who are in the third heaven have access to that would be unlawful for us to know. Information maybe you would like right now. And I don't care how much you fast and pray and how sanctified you are or how much you read your Bible, you will not know it. It has nothing to do with sanctification. It has to do with permission and where you are. So there are some things that you're just limited to, and this is where the sovereignty of God comes into. Why is all that? When you're in the third heaven, you'll know. But for right now, we've only been allotted a portion of information. There is some information that would be unlawful for us to have access to. You know that God's a holy God. You know God's a just God. He sent his Son to the cross to die for our sins. That demonstrates a certain justice and righteousness and
The same redemptive satisfaction that we get in understanding our sin was paid for by a God who demands that and took it out on his own son so that we could be free. You got to understand that the proportioning of knowledge and all that stuff, that same just holy God is doing stuff there too. There's stuff I don't know that I won't know till I get to the third heaven, and it's right that unlawful. Matt, that means there's an element of holiness, righteousness that would be wrong. It would be an illegal act for me to know certain things. But he's given me what I do need to know. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, that the man, the woman of God could be fully equipped for every good work. Everything I need to know is right here. Praise God. And he can give me revelation and insight on what's here. And yes, I'll get in on those unlawful things for now, for me, later when it won't be unlawful, when I am in the third heaven and I can hear those things. But in the meantime, I'm going to walk by faith in what I know. But he does give us these amazing glimpses, doesn't he? You know exactly what heaven's going to be like and all that. I mean, I've heard the different stories and some amazing different things and insights, but yet there's still this general expectation. Like Paul says, the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. I don't know what all that means exactly, but it's good. You know, and I know enough to know that I can live by faith down here, knowing that I'm walking, living toward a living, loving, heavenly Savior. And a place, the Bible says that he went to prepare a place for you. He went to prepare a place for me. Praise God. But it's by faith that you begin to see those things. The Apostle Peter put it this way, and this was in the face of trials. He said, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes. Do we really believe that? Yes, it's true. Though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. That joy is real. That joy is your strength. And that joy comes from seeing by faith that loving, living Savior who died for you. When I even say the verse, come unto me all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You get a picture in your mind of a good shepherd who loves you and cares for you. It is something you are seeing by faith. It's something your natural eyes can't fully grasp, but your spirit can grasp it. It's the living God, God of love, perfect, whole. This is what Jesus said. John 20, he said this to Judas. He said to him, to Thomas. He said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Okay, Thomas had the opportunity. I'm not going to believe unless I see he saw. My Lord, Jesus said, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who don't see and yet still believe. Remember when Jesus asked the question, who am I? Peter said, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus didn't say, blessed are you, Simon Peter, you got the right answer. He said, blessed are you, Simon Peter, because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven revealed this to you. I mean, there you had Jesus in the flesh right before your natural eyes, but it still took a revelation from heaven to see him for who he was. And that's how you're going to get stuff. You're going to get stuff. God opens your eyes of faith as you're looking in his direction, looking unto Jesus, and you begin to see things. But you see, if you had to walk by sight in purely what you could see with your natural eyes, you'd be so restricted, so limited. The world of faith opens up the spirit world to you, even though you can't see it perfectly. Even though we understand it in principle, it's still there. And the knowledge that's permitted for us right now to have, we have what we need by permission to be able to navigate that spirit realm by faith as we walk by faith and not by sight. But we need faith. Faith bridges the gap between what our natural eye can't see anymore and what's out there and available to us by faith. I have authority in Christ. The name of Jesus has power over principalities. In the name of Jesus, I can speak and break demonic forces. Nothing I can see with my eyes. It's faith. I believe Jesus spoiled principalities and powers 2,000 years ago, and I put faith in that victory. In the name of Jesus, I resist the devil. Praise God. But I got to see it by faith. I can't see these things with natural eyes. Sight isn't good enough. Sight is too limiting. Why faith? Faith sees the unseen. While we look at things not seen, when Paul is saying we're looking at things not seen, he was talking about his faith. Number two, faith, this is kind of wordy. I was going to be really slick with this one, but I thought, I'm just going to make it wordy. Maybe it'll be easy to remember. Faith takes pressure off the mind. What does the Bible say? It says, in all your ways acknowledge him. Lean not to your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Here again, we've got a situation where either before we said, I'm either going to walk by what I can see with these natural eyes, or I'm going to see by faith the substance of things which are not seen. By faith, I can open my eyes to a world of the Spirit. Here's another area of why faith. Because you're going to have another inflection point. The first one is based on what you can see. But the other one has to do with your understanding. If you are going to lean to your own understanding, in other words, you've decided, I am going to lean to my own understanding, there is a lot of pressure on your own understanding. The ball is in your court to have to figure it out. That's a tough ball to have in your court. Now, the world and the spirit of the world will mock you as like using religion as a crutch. But the fact of the matter is, if the world knew they were the world in the first place, the Bible says the whole world lies under the sway of the evil one. The world sways to the voice that they don't even know they're swaying. But they're all swaying to the same music. The world doesn't even know they were the world. But if the world could know that they were the world, they would know that there is two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God's dear Son. And we are in these spiritual kingdoms, and your own understanding is no match for the kingdom of darkness. Satan is the father of lies. He's the best deceiver there is. The thing that he's really good at is lying. And he's also, the Bible tells us from Genesis right away, that he's the most subtle. That's what a really good liar is. Someone who's really subtle, who can present 90%+ of the truth, but then have the subtle lie that's ultimately steering you away from God. That's what Satan is good at. He is a liar, father of lies, and if I, Ed House, I'm going to match natural wits against him who's been doing it to human beings for millennia, I'm just another, I'd be the flavor of the day for him. Oh, good. So Ed House wants to take me on. Okay, good. This will be fun. Where is he going to go in the natural that I haven't gone before? There's no place I can go in the natural that he hasn't gone before. Natural reasoning, natural wisdom, natural, natural, natural. No, I need the crutch of the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the crutch of the mind of Christ. You know what it comes down to? Pride and humility, isn't it? I mean, really, when you shell it all back, it's pride and humility. You need the crutch. Yes, I do. Yes, Lord, I do. You need the crutch. I need the crutch of the cross, too, because I can't pay for my own sin. I need that crutch, too. And boy, there's a lot of other great things that come along with that crutch. It's going to come down to pride and humility to the heart. Now, you can win the argument, look big down here, but ultimately your spirit's going to leave your body, and you're going to be audited. And you're either going to have the blood of Jesus audit or the audit of your own works. Yes, I need the crutch of the blood of Jesus. Pride and humility. What did Jesus say? Unless a person first humbles himself as a little child, they'll never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Humility. He resists the proud, he gives grace to the humble. You're going to find this walk of faith are inflection points of humility. See, yeah, I need that. Yeah, I need that. I need that. I need that help. I need that strength. Faith takes pressure off the mind. Here's the passage I want to get to, Ephesians 6:13. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Get this, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That wicked one has some fiery darts. And you'll notice what he says, above all. He just gets done listing a bunch of weaponry here. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Now those old shields, they were full body shields. They got you covered. And it says, with which you can quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Those fiery darts, they're fiery. And they're darts. Again, with the natural eye, you can't appreciate spiritual things. But with the spiritual eye, you can. And you realize those fiery darts in real life are thoughts that come to your mind. Painful, hurtful, fearful, prideful. All kind of thoughts that'll come to your mind. And if Ed House has to match wits with those thoughts and try to quench those fiery darts with my own thinking, no match. I've tried that before. We've all tried that before. But thank God, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare, the shield of faith, is powerful through God for pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and taking every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There is something about the shield of faith that has a quenching effect. You know, when you're working through things in your life, well, just say you're working through a relationship issue, and you can lift up a shield of faith. Lift up Ephesians chapter 4, 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. That's a shield of faith. Now you can take that shield down and fight that bitterness dart in your mind, or you can lift that shield up and get behind that scripture. But you don't know what they did. You don't know what they said. You know what they did. Yeah. Or, I've done this. We've all done it. You realize when you're here, nothing gets quenched. It's just the flames get higher and higher and fire. Fire gets blazing. But when you get behind, above all, take the shield of faith. And instead of looking at the dart, I'm looking at the shield. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Or Colossians 3 says, if anyone has a quarrel against another, it's Colossians 3, 13, 14. If anyone has a quarrel against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And what am I looking at? I'm looking at the back of my shield where the scriptures are written, right there on the back and on the front. You know that, you know, sometimes people, you know, kind of a disrespectful saying, they'll say, talk to the hand kind of a thing. Well, when it comes to those darts, talk to the shield. Because that's what's happening. You are changing the subject on purpose to the Word of God. The enemy, through fiery darts, wants to argue. You notice there's strongholds, arguments, you know, strife, confusion, every evil. It's an argumentative. Satan is an accuser and he's an arguer. The Bible says the man of God must not strive, but be patient to all, apt to teach. And so your demeanor is like, okay,
Faith takes pressure off the mind and gets you behind the Word of God. And the Word of God, and this is an amazing thing, when you begin to quote and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive, even as you've forgiven me. I'm doing that by faith. And I'm behind my shield of faith. The Word has a quenching ability about it. All of a sudden, all those little reasonings and arguments, they can get quenched in the Word as you're behind the Word. There's a shield of faith. A shield of faith. I love, here's kind of a great scripture, a companion scripture to that. Therefore, humble yourselves into the mighty hand of God, that he, there's that humility again, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. All right? There's cares. There's darts coming. Say, Lord, show me what to do with that one. Lord, show me how to, maybe the Lord shows you. You begin to take action. Here's another scripture again. Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that dart-quenching peace will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Oh, it comes down to pride and humility again. And you know what, and this is just kind of, just so you know, as you're walking, as you're growing spiritually, you're going to get good at this in some areas. And then you're going to get tested with that area. And it's the same spiritual principle. It's the same spiritual truth. But there are sometimes arguments and sometimes there's strongholds. But isn't it good to know that the same weapons work for the thought level into captivity all the way up to the stronghold? The same truth works. But as we're growing spiritually, we're kind of getting tested. It's kind of like the Lord's kind of taking back ground. We're being transformed by the renewing of our mind as we're beginning to trust him more and more and more in these areas. It's not that we don't necessarily know these things, but it's beginning to take these things to another level in our life. And here's a profound truth. The deeper you go in God, the simpler you get in your thinking. The more immature you are, the more complicated you are. Flesh complicates, spirit simplifies. God made this stuff available for whosoever will, so you don't have to have an IQ of 180 to be able to walk in faith. In fact, you got to humble yourself more and more and make those decisions. Why faith? Faith will take the pressure off your mind, puts it back on the Word of God, so I can say, praise God, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, taking every thought into captivity to the obedience of this Word. That's the way he's designed us to live. If I had to walk by sight, if vengeance was mine, and I had to repay, and we kind of whine about having to trust, it would be a pretty miserable life. Thank God for mercy and grace and forgiveness. No, praise God. No, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. That's what it says on the back of my shield. And that has a quenching effect on the darts that my natural reasoning doesn't have. If you get that shield down, you are in victim complex mode, ready to have a heyday. You get the shield up, it'll quench. And all you know is, praise God, I love you, God. And Lord, thank you for forgiving me that $1 million debt. Thank you, because mercy and grace is written on the back of that shield. The mercy and grace he's shown me, it's the reminder that I've been forgiven. The reminder that I've been loved with an everlasting love. There's a powerful shield of faith that takes the pressure off your mind. If you feel like you're about to go crazy, what does Jesus say? Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Dart quench and rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. The wisdom that's from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and its own in peace of them that make peace. Faith takes pressure off your mind. I want it to be my understanding. I want the full bearing of understanding to be weighted on my mind. You don't want that. You want to, by faith, live according to these words. Yes, I know in part. I will know full one day. I don't know today, but this is good enough. This is what equips me for every good work. There are inflection points of humility in areas of our life where we've got to choose faith. And yes, again, the natural man looks at that and calls it a crutch,
But a spiritual person knows better. A spiritual person knows. And, you know, there's kind of a little, I love the Apostle Paul, he kind of gives a nice little thing about that. He just said, this is 1 Corinthians 2, he just said, he said, the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 through 16. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned, right? The natural man only has one set of eyes. You have two sets of eyes. You got the natural eyes and the spiritual eyes. If you've only got natural eyes, spiritual stuff isn't going to make sense. It's going to be foolishness. It's going to be the crutch, right? But he goes on to say, but he who is spiritual, both sets of eyes, judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Are people going to still make judgments? Yeah, they're going to. They're not going to be right, but they're going to still make judgments. Trust in your eyes. Trust in your eyes of faith. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And so as we're walking by faith, why faith? Faith is going to take pressure off your mind. See, I'm not just walking by faith again blindly. I'm walking by faith in the Word. And there's something about putting my faith in these words against this. See, because when you get thoughts in your head, they're not just thoughts. There are spiritual forces behind those thoughts that are trying to drive you to do horrible things. But praise God, these words aren't just words. These words are quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And when these words come in contact with those words, they can absorb them. They can quench them. This is why the Word is so important. There's a shield of faith that's based on the Word of God that gives us power. It takes the pressure off our natural reasoning. Again, why faith? Because your natural reasoning isn't good enough. You need the power of faith-breathed words to renew your mind and to push back those other words. We absolutely need the Word of God, praise God, and the shield of faith, which has that quenching effect. Say, praise God. All right. Then finally, faith makes all things possible. And I alluded to that too in praise and worship this morning. Sight is limited in terms of what it can see. Sight in natural reasoning is limited in terms of its ability to reason. Our computer, our natural computer, is not strong enough to take on the powers and principalities. We need the shield of faith to quench those darts. We need the shield of faith to distinguish them. But also, in the natural, possibilities are very limited. Have you noticed that? There are few options. You know, they were talking to, you know, the disciples talking to Jesus various occasions. Here's a situation where a father is talking to Jesus about his son. And he says, let me go ahead and get there myself here. He says, and often, this is a man talking to Jesus about his son who's been tormented by a demon. And he's speaking to Jesus, and he says, often the demon has thrown him, his son, both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. That's what Satan does, steal, kill, destroy. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Is there help for unbelief? Can the Lord help your unbelief? Yeah. Yeah, praise God. Now the story goes on. Jesus got the man delivered. But what did Jesus say? He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. This is where faith is absolutely necessary. If I was walking by sight and I only had the resources of the natural realm, my possibilities would be very narrow. Faith is required. Faith is what expands possibilities. Faith can cause the Spirit of God to move on hearts in ways that network things that you would have just never believed. You know, in your natural reasoning, you could have never planned it. Have you ever had situations like, wow, I could have never planned that in the natural? There's no way I could have gotten all this to line up if I would have prepared 6 months in advance. And yet the Spirit of God just does it like this, with regularity. You see, in the natural, we're so limited. But with God, all things are possible. And to him who believes, all things are possible. Faith is a necessary element as we get his will done in the earth. Praise God. Repeatedly, Jesus would say to people, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, be it unto you. Here Jesus says clearly, he simply says, have faith. Answered them, said, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. Faith. Faith. He has given us faith to get things done in the earth. He has. According to your faith. Have faith in God. God puts this ball of faith in our court. And he tells us to ask. Sometimes what we've done theologically is we've taken that ball of faith and we've crossed off faith and put sovereign will of God and return to sender. According to your faith. No, according to your sovereign will. That's unscriptural. Is there a sovereignty in God? Does he have a sovereign will? Yes, he does. Do you have a part to play? You better believe you do. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet. You cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have. You know, sometimes people say, I just believe everything happens for a reason. I do too. Here's one of them. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. We have a part to play, don't we? Yes. We're not down here to just spiritualize how everything was mystically the will. We're down here to have arms, hands, and feet and legs and to do. To do what Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Have faith in God, he said. Ask. I wonder how many things aren't being done because nobody in the earth is asking for it to be done. And we're going to be held accountable to our Lord's words. Why didn't you do anything about that? Nobody asked me. You know, complaining about it isn't asking. There is asking. There is faith. There's a song out now. I just heard it the other day. Something about moving mountains. And it was kind of neat. It's the way he said, it's just a mountain. Move it. It's just a mountain. Move it. Speak to it. Faith. Jesus said, talking about the widow with the unjust judge. There was a widow who wasn't getting justice, but she kept going with persistent faith. Believing, talking to that judge. Finally, the unjust says, even though I don't fear God or man, I'm going to give this widow what she wants, lest she wearies me. Now, this was the summary at the end. Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, so you can't dispensationalize faith out of the realm of here and now. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find that persistent seeking, that persistent asking, that persistent going after? Asking, seeking, knocking. When the Son of Man returns, will he find that? I don't know whatever your eschatology might be, but I can tell you one thing about your eschatology. It needs to include faith at the coming of Christ. And it needs to include a persistent asking faith at the coming of Christ. That's what Christ was asking. When the Son of Man returns, will he find that? Faith. Why faith? In your own natural ability, you don't have the ability to get this job done. And your power and your strength is not your own. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I pray faith prayers. God leads, guides me. He goes on to say, Jesus, for everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you if his son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If then you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Is that Jesus speaking? Yes, that's our Lord. It would be easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for those words to pass away. They should be part of our theology. It comes down to faith, though, doesn't it? Faith. Faith. Faith is what gives you options that your natural eyes and your natural reasoning and this natural world doesn't give you. Why faith? Faith makes all things possible. Again, we're not talking about, no, let's go on, he's here. Let's go back to James 2. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask that you and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it upon your pleasures. Is it possible to ask amiss? Yes. Is all asking good? No, there can be bad asking. There can be flesh-orientated asking where people are doing things for their own selfish motive, their own selfish gain to feed their flesh. And those prayers are not answered. But does that do away with asking? No. There are things that aren't getting done because there's not asking. So there's two ditches, aren't there? There's the ditch of not asking, and there's the ditch of asking amiss. We got to stay in the middle of the road. And what does the Bible say? I should have had that scripture in there. John, 1 John chapter 5. What's the middle of the road here? It says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. The center of the road between the two ditches is the will of God. The will of God is the word of God. And how you divide this word is going to determine the domain of what you know to be the will of God. Okay? And this is where it's important to walk in what you know. And let me just say this kind of too as an aside. This is important where you got to be able to walk in love toward your brothers and sisters who don't necessarily divide the word exactly the way you do. Because in this area where you divide, you might divide the word of God and you can see your authority in Christ, you can see healing in the atonement, you can see freedom from fear, you can see a bunch of stuff. And other people might divide the word of truth and they don't have all that stuff in there. It doesn't mean they don't love God, doesn't mean that they don't respect the word, but there's that can vary, all right? But I'm saying this, Door of Life Christian Church, praise God. We know the Bible is the word of God. We know that God has ordained us for good works to walk in. We know that he's given us authority. We know that he's empowered his church to have everything that it takes. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2 that he's given us those exceeding promises of God, those exceedingly great and precious promises of God, that we can escape the corruption that's in the world through lust and have everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. I love how Romans 8 puts it. Having not spared his own son for us, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? And so my circle has a lot of stuff in there that I can believe God for. It does. And it's not a little spoiled child mentality thing. It's a loving God who's provided me all things that pertain to life and godliness. He sees the situation I'm in, and he is my good shepherd. And he's right there, and he's got my back. Praise God, as I'm walking by faith in this life. Important to realize. So why faith? Faith sees the unseen. We can't walk by sight. These eyes aren't good enough. There's a whole nother world of the Spirit we can't see. And there's only one way you're getting access to it. It's by faith in the knowledge that God's provided for now. This is permitted knowledge. And the Bible clearly says in 1 Corinthians, we know in part. This is the part that's been permitted for us to know. But at the same time, that part is capable of fully equipping us for every good work. So even though it's partial in the sense of what we will know someday, it's still what I need to know right now to walk by faith. And it's by that faith that I see I'm a new creation. By faith, I see the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I see my authority in Christ. Faith takes pressure off the mind. Walking by sight isn't good enough. Walking by your understanding isn't good enough. You're no match for powers and principalities. You're no match. You need something bigger than your understanding. You need thoughts that are higher than your thoughts. Because these aren't just words. These aren't just, yeah, I can see it that way. There's power behind these words. When Jesus was on the earth, he resisted the devil with, "It is written." I mean, if it was good enough for my Lord and Savior to use these words to resist those spiritual forces, yeah, that's what I'm going to do too. I'm going to, above all, take that shield of faith. And when I start seeing the thoughts on those fiery darts, I'm going to see what my shield says about that, and I'm going to start reading the shield, and begin to do what the shield says. Above all, it has a quenching effect on those darts. It's an amazing thing. You can just start praising and worshiping God, and all of a sudden, the cares, it's like they're quenched, they're gone. You know, the scripture says how death is swallowed up in life. It's like anxiety is just swallowed up in peace. Sickness can get swallowed up in healing. Lack can get swallowed up in provision. Fear can get swallowed up in confidence. It has a swallowing effect. That shield, when you get it, it takes the pressure off your mind. Praise God. My mind isn't good enough, not strong enough. And finally, faith makes all things possible. I got options in faith that I don't have in the natural. I got options when I pray. Circles full of stuff that he is willing, having given me Christ, to help me and provide for my life. I need faith. I don't want to go back to sight. I whine and complain about faith like you too, you know? I get frustrated and things, but then I catch myself and, well, no. Praise God. Don't want to go back to sight. This is good. This is better. This is right. Praise God. Let's have a faith-filled summer this summer. Man, I at house have areas where I still lean too much to my own understanding. I need to trust God more. I need to get that shield. Sometimes you get the shield half up, and you miss some of them, but other ones you still get. And it's like, all right, got to get it all the way up. Boy, you feel kind of vulnerable behind here, but yes, no, you're not. You're protected behind there. All I can see is the word now. We all have these inflections, so we're all working it out. But praise God. Why faith? Because faith is better than sight. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know much of this stuff already. We know we walk by faith, not by sight. But Father, help us this morning to just see your heart. You're a loving God. You care for us. You're compassionate. These are not games. This is equipment, spiritual equipment that we've been given. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. But we've been given faith-oriented equipment, eyes. We've got a night vision that can pierce through Satan's darkest darkness and see exactly what's going on and see exactly what belongs to us by the power of the Word of God. Oh, Father, we thank you. We've got a shield of faith. We don't have to match wits with the enemy. We can take your wits. We can take the mind of Christ and quench those fiery darts. We can humble ourselves as little children and stand behind that shield and declare your word, the word of God. And Father, we thank you that all things are possible to him who believes. There are things in the natural we could never coordinate, but you can coordinate. If we'll only ask, if we'll seek, if we'll knock. Lord, you've put that ball of faith in our court. Lord, we take that ball of faith and we run with it, asking according to your will, obeying the promptings of the Holy Ghost, saying what you've told us to say, doing what you showed us to do. Father God, we put our trust in you. And we are not ashamed. Our trust is in you. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for faith. It's much better than sight. I can see things by faith. My natural eye cannot see. And they're so real. Whom having not seen, I rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Holy Spirit lives in me. I see it by faith. I believe what you've said about me in your word. I am a new creation. By faith I see that. In the face of the voice of the world, I see, I am new. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. It was a gift, but I did receive it. And I thank you for it. It's who I am. It's what I'm going to walk like. I see myself new. I see faith as a shield. It can quench those fiery darts, all those hours of pain and anguish, fighting those darts with my own understanding, it's done. Above all, I am lifting the shield of faith, the thing that can quench those fiery darts. I'm safe behind that shield. I humble myself and stay behind that shield. With God, all things are possible. I will do what you've called me to do. I will walk by faith. Even if I'm persecuted, even if it's called a crutch, I will say, yes, I can't do this in my own strength. I need that crutch of the Almighty God. I need that crutch of the greater one who lives in me. I need that crutch of the Word of God by which I overcome this world. Because with God, all things are possible. Today is my day, the day I'm calling on your name, Jesus. I've heard this stuff before, but today's the day I'm believing it. Many things I don't understand, but one thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Give me those eyes so I can walk by faith. You, from this day forward, are my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.